You know that feeling when you stumble upon a deal and it just seems, well, too good to be true.
Yeah, like that amazing price on something online or.
Well, maybe health insurance, yeah. So in this deep dive, we're really pulling back the curtain on the, let's say, murky world of modern health insurance scams.
We've been digging into this document, Health Insurance Scams Update. And it really lays bare the scope, the tactics, often quite clever, and crucially, the red flags.
Okay.
Our goal is pretty straightforward, really. We want to arm you, the listener, with the knowledge to spot these scams, make sound choices, and hopefully steer clear of becoming a victim.
And the scale, it's just staggering, isn't it? Over $68 billion lost every single year. That's according to the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud.
It's enormous.
To put that in perspective, I mean, that's more than the revenue of some huge companies. It really drives home how organized this fraud must be.
It really does. And, these aren't clumsy scams anymore. The people behind them are getting much more sophisticated. They're using technology to make things look incredibly convincing.
Right.
And the pandemic, unfortunately, well, it kind of opened up new vulnerabilities, didn't it? And fraudsters were very quick to jump on those.
It's just awful thinking about the actual impact on individuals. I mean, people facing financial ruin, maybe delaying getting medical care because their insurance is
Yeah.
basically
Yeah,
worthless.
worthless. And then their credit scores get hit.
Yeah.
The emotional toll, too, it must be immense. And
Absolutely.
the damage spreads out.
Yeah.
It erodes trust in the legitimate insurance industry. And ultimately, it pushes up costs for everyone because, well, insurers and regulators have to spend more resources fighting this stuff.
The report calls it the modern landscape of health insurance fraud. That almost makes it sound like some kind of, I don't know, parallel industry.
That's not a bad way to put it.
Using professional marketing, operating in those confusing regulatory gray areas, it makes you wonder how they actually get away with it.
That's a really key question. And think about this. Legitimate health insurance premiums are going up, right? Around 7% average increase per year. So when someone sees an offer that's dramatically cheaper, well, it looks incredibly tempting, especially for people desperate for some relief. It creates a real weak spot.
Yeah, definitely. And here's a number that really jumped out at me from the report. A 57% increase in Department of Labor investigations into these unauthorized health plans.
Wow,
Yeah.
57%.
In the average case, it affects over 3,200 consumers. That's a huge number of people per scam.
It is a massive net, like you said. And that rise in investigations, it really highlights the sheer variety of scams out there. It's not just one thing. There are different types of these unauthorized plans.
Okay, so let's break those down then. What are these different categories? First up, it mentions fictitious insurers. What exactly is that?
Right. So these are basically fake companies, just shell entities created with absolutely zero intention of ever paying out claims.
Not at all.
Zero. And a common tactic is they'll use names that sound really similar to well-known legitimate insurers. They're hoping people just won't spot the slight difference.
That's pretty bold, leveraging brand recognition like that.
It's a classic deception move. Then you've got unlicensed entities.
Okay, what's their angle?
These are companies operating without the proper state licenses. They might even pay out a few small claims at the beginning.
Oh, to look legit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Create that illusion of legitimacy. But fundamentally, they don't have the financial backing or the regulatory oversight needed to provide real coverage.
And then there are these limited benefit plans, the ones misrepresented as comprehensive. That sounds particularly nasty.
It really is. Because these plans do technically offer some benefits, but they're often marketed really aggressively, making them sound like full medical coverage.
But they're not.
Not even close. The
Yeah.
reality is the benefits are usually so limited, they're almost useless if you have significant medical bills. People find out when it's too late, when they actually need the coverage.
Awful. Okay. Then we get into association health plans or AHPs. I've heard those can be complicated.
Yeah, unauthorized AHPs exploit the idea of group coverage through associations. They claim to offer legit insurance to association members, but they don't have the necessary regulatory approvals.
How do they get around that?
Well, they often try to muddy the waters by talking about ERISA, that's the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. They try to claim federal preemption to avoid state rules.
Ah, ERISA. So they're sort of banking on people not understanding the difference between federal and state insurance oversight.
Precisely. Scammers know ERISA governs many employer plans federally, so they falsely claim their unauthorized association plans fall under that to dodge state regulators. It's confusion they thrive on.
Makes sense. And then there are MUOs. Multiple employer welfare arrangements. Sounds complex.
Fraudulent MUAs are similar. They pretend to be legitimate arrangements, like coalitions of employers offering health benefits together.
But they're not playing by the rules.
Exactly. They don't comply with the specific regulations for MUAs. And, like the fake AHPs, they often make bogus claims about ERISA preemption to try and avoid state oversight. It's another loophole they exploit.
It really seems like complexity is their friend here. And the last category mentioned health-sharing ministries. Now, I thought those were, you know, actual faith-based groups.
Well, legitimate ones do exist. They're built on shared religious beliefs. Members contribute voluntarily to help cover each other's medical costs. That's the concept.
Okay.
But the sham ministries, they exploit that religious exemption to basically operate as unregulated insurance companies.
How so?
They might use all the religious language and symbols, but behind the scenes, they function like insurers, assessing risk, setting contribution levels based on that risk, just without any of the consumer protections or financial solvency rules that apply to actual insurance.
So it's a disguise, a whole range of deceptive tactics out there. And the consequences, they go beyond just individual financial loss, don't they? The report talks about broader economic costs.
Oh, absolutely. Think about healthcare providers. They're left with something like $31 billion in unpaid bills annually from these fake plans.
$31 billion. That's incredible.
It is. And the impact on the victims. It's not just medical debt. The report cites some really alarming stats. 29% reporting job loss, 18% facing foreclosure or eviction. These are truly life-altering events.
Just devastating to even think about that ripple effect.
It is. And when these fraudulent plans don't pay, guess who often picks up the tab?
Public programs, taxpayers.
Exactly. The burden shifts, increasing costs for everyone. Plus, these scams mess up the legitimate insurance markets. They cause something called adverse selection, which can drive up premiums for people with real insurance.
And it sounds like maybe predictably certain groups are more vulnerable to these scams.
Yes, definitely. Small business owners, people who are self-employed, maybe low-income workers, folks who are actively hunting for affordable options.
Thanks.
Also, individuals with pre-existing conditions who might feel desperate, older adults not quite on Medicare yet, and maybe recent immigrants who aren't as familiar with the complexities of the U.S. healthcare system, they're often prime targets.
The report says it takes victims, on average, almost 4 years, 3.7 years, to recover financially. And nearly a quarter, 22%, never fully recover. That's a long time.
A very long shadow indeed. And the way these operations are structured, it's deliberately confusing.
How to
use these layered setups. You've got the core operators at the top, the marketing team, sales agents, admin staff. It's all designed to hide who's really running the show.
To make it hard for regulators to pin them down.
Exactly. It's a deliberate smokescreen to avoid accountability. Like a maze, as you said earlier.
And it sounds like they follow a pretty predictable pattern, almost like a criminal business plan.
That's a good way to think about it. There's usually an initial setup phase, then a period of really aggressive growth, sign up as many people as possible.
Get the premiums flowing in.
Right. Then comes a maintenance phase. Keep collecting premiums, but get better and better at delaying or denying claims. And finally, when things get too hot or they've siphoned off enough cash,
they disappear.
They enter an exit phase. Vanish. Maybe pop up later under a new name with a slightly different scam.
And all that premium money, where does it actually end up? It can't all just vanish.
Well, a small slice, maybe 15-20%, might go towards bulk out those initial small claims. Just enough to create that false sense of security. Maybe get some positive word of mouth going early on.
Okay.
Another chunk, say 20-30%, covers operating costs and, importantly, agent commissions. And those commissions are often really high to incentivize aggressive selling.
And the rest, the biggest piece.
That's the part, maybe 50 to 65% that gets extracted by the core operators, use all sorts of tricks, huge management fees, payments for bogus consulting to related companies, disguising personal expenses as business costs, you name it.
So it's basically a system built to funnel money to the top.
Okay, let's shift gears. What should people like us, potential consumers, actually be looking for? What are the big red flags in the marketing, the sales pitches?
Okay, number one is probably the price. Premiums that are way, way below market rates, like 30% or more cheaper, without any clear logical reason or eligibility restriction.
If it seems too good to be true.
It almost certainly is, especially in insurance. That super low price should set off major alarm bells, another huge one. If they promise to accept everyone, regardless of health history, especially in markets where underwriting is standard, legitimate insurers assess risk.
What else? High-pressure tactics, maybe?
Definitely. Unusually high agent commissions often fuel that pressure. If they're pushing you to sign up right now, not giving you time to think or review, that's bad. Non-standard enrollment periods, too. Ones that don't line up with typical open enrollment.
Also, be wary of really vague language about what kind of coverage it actually is. And watch out for claims of affiliation with big, recognizable organizations that seem kind of sketchy when you look closer.
Right. So those are warnings during the sales pitch. What about operationally? Like, once you think you're enrolled, any red flags there?
Yes, absolutely. Be super cautious if it's a company that just popped up recently, but claims to offer really extensive coverage, especially if you can't easily verify them with your state's insurance department.
Okay, check with the state. Good tip.
Also, look out for documentation that seems outdated, unprofessional, or has inconsistent terms. Limited customer service options or service that's just unresponsive. Big red flags.
What about payments?
Yeah, if they demand the full premium up front or want you to pay through unusual methods like wire transfers, gift cards, cryptocurrency, that's highly suspicious. Especially if they can't give you a clear, believable reason for why their rates are so much lower.
Got it. And then when it comes to actually using the supposed coverage, filing claims, seeing what's covered, what are the danger signs?
Well, first, if your policy documents don't have standard, recognizable policy numbers, that's a big one. Or if the process for submitting a claim is really weird, confusing, and there's no clear way to appeal if they deny it.
No appeals process. Sounds bad.
Very bad. Also, if standard benefits you'd expect, things mandated in legitimate plans seem to be missing. Or if you have to join some weird association that seems to exist only to sell this insurance. Also, watch for uncommon or poorly defined terms in the policy, or if they keep talking about being self-funded but can't show you proper legal proof. And, of course, the classic sign, constant delays in paying claims or demanding mountains of paperwork, often irrelevant stuff when you try to get reimbursed.
Yeah, stalling tactics. The report gives some really stark examples, these case studies. Can you walk us through one? Show how these flags play out in real life.
Sure. There was one case, they called themselves an innovative healthcare solution. Big red flag right there. Often vague marketing term.
Innovative. Okay.
They falsely claimed they were exempt from state rules because of ERISA, and they made people join a totally fake association.
The ERISA trick again and the fake association.
Exactly. They pulled in a massive $67 million in premiums, paid out only $13 million in actual claims. The operators, they siphoned off $21 million for themselves.
And the victims.
Over 3,200 people left, holding $42 million in unpaid medical bills. All the red flags were there. The ERISA claim, the weird association requirement, the too good to be true promises.
Just devastating. And there was another one involving a health sharing ministry, right? Using that religious cover we talked about.
Exactly. This operation wrapped itself in, you know, religious language, statements of faith, even prayer newsletters.
But underneath?
Their underwriting was just like a regular insurance company. They assessed risk based on health. They collected $38 million in contributions, paid out only $7 million before they got shut down. The mismatch between the religious front and the actual insurance-like business practices was a key warning sign.
And the last case study had a more digital angle, post-pandemic focus.
Yeah, this one went hard on marketing post-pandemic comprehensive health solutions online. Lots of emphasis on telehealth, which felt relevant, right?
Very timely.
But what they were actually selling were these very limited indemnity plans. They offered almost no real financial protection for serious medical issues.
So not comprehensive at all.
Not even close. They played on pandemic anxieties and the shift to remote everything. Yet over 6,300 consumers who lost about $14 million in premiums for basically worthless coverage. The heavy online push, the telehealth focus, without clear details on the actual coverage. Those should have been warning signs.
It's really clear these scams are keeping pace with technology, with how we live now, especially online. The report talks about this digital evolution of the fraud.
Yeah, this is super important to grasp now. Scammers are really good at manipulating search engines. They can dominate results for things like cheap health insurance or affordable health care.
So they show up first on Google?
Often, yes. They use sophisticated SEO, build websites that look totally professional, sometimes almost identical to the legitimate insurers. So you absolutely cannot trust that a top search result is safe.
That's a crucial point. Just because it looks slick and ranks high doesn't mean it's legit.
Exactly. And they use targeted online ads, too. really precise demographic data to find people they think are most likely to fall for the pitch.
And social media, that's a big playground for them too, I guess.
Oh, huge. They recruit micro-influencers, you know, people with smaller but maybe dedicated followings, to push these plans. They target specific Facebook groups where people might be asking about healthcare options.
Wow.
They create fake comments, fake testimonials to build that illusion of credibility. And they even use direct messaging, probably using data they bought somewhere, to contact potential victims directly. It's like building a whole fake online reality.
A whole fake ecosystem designed to trap people. Chilling. And they're even using interactive stuff now, like calculators and things.
Yeah, that's another layer. You'll see fake premium calculators designed to spit out unrealistically low numbers. Or comparison tools that are rigged to make the scam plan look better than real insurance. Fake eligibility quizzes, too.
Trying to make it seem official.
Right. Some are even using AI chatbots now, programmed to handle your objections and doubts.
Yeah.
The FTC case you mentioned earlier, dozens of websites, these fake health coverage advocates, they duped 22,000 people into bad plans. Worth $32 million.
Mm-hmm.
It shows the scale of these digital tactics.
A massive digital deception machine. What about old school phone scams? Have they evolved too?
They definitely have. Cold calling still happens, but it's often more sophisticated. They use digital marketing first to generate leads lists of potential targets.
So they're not just dialing randomly?
Less often now. These leads get sent to specialized call centers. Sometimes the first contact is a sort of harmless-sounding survey about health or insurance. If you seem unqualified for real insurance based on your answers, they transfer you to the teams pushing the dodgy plans.
And they use tech to make the calls themselves seem more legit.
Oh, yeah. Neighbor spoofing is common, making the caller ID show a local number so you're more likely to pick up. They're starting to use voice AI to get past screening calls. And sophisticated routing systems can bounce you between different specialists to make it seem like a bigger, more official operation.
The report mentioned this multi-stage calling process using psychology in the scripts. What's that about?
It's pretty manipulative. You might get calls from different people playing different roles.
Mm-hmm.
An initial survey agent, then maybe a coverage specialist, a verification officer, even a welcome agent after you sign up.
Creates an illusion of legitimacy.
Exactly. And the scripts are carefully written. They might falsely claim to be with a government agency or a famous insurance company. They create fake urgency. This offer ends today to pressure you. And they strategically downplay the downsides while hyping the supposed benefits.
Sounds incredibly well planned. Mm-hmm. And they try to cover their tracks during these calls, too.
Yes. Call centers often move around to avoid authorities. They might selectively record calls, capturing you saying yes, but maybe conveniently stopping the recording when they're making misleading statements. And they'll often push you to a website for the really sensitive parts, like entering payment info or signing forms, so it's not on the recorded call. Makes it harder to prove they lied.
This paints a picture of a really complex criminal operation. And
yeah.
The report also links this to a broader cybercrime. It's not just about the fake insurance premium.
That's a really important connection and a growing threat. These scams aren't just about taking your premium money. They're harvesting incredibly detailed personal information during that fake enrollment.
Like what?
Your health history, your real insurance details if you have them, social security number, financial info. It's a goldmine for identity thieves and other criminals.
So it's potentially a double scam?
Yeah.
Sell the fake policy and steal the data.
Potentially, yes. And you can bet these sham operations don't have strong cybersecurity.
Probably non-existent.
Likely. Minimal security, storing data improperly, maybe collecting way more info than needed. And they might just sell your data directly to data brokers. Plus, if they ever get hacked themselves, which is likely, they have no process for notifying victims or dealing with the breach.
Leaving people even more exposed. And are there new cyber threats emerging specifically in this area?
Yes. The report mentions things like fake insurance portals designed to steal your login details. Phishing campaigns, targeting doctors' offices or hospitals to try and get patient data.
Mm-hmm.
Even ransomware attacks hitting the scam operations themselves, which could expose all the victim data they collected.
It's a minefield. Okay, so given all this, what can we actually do? What are the concrete steps listeners can take to protect themselves?
The report stresses verification. Always, always independently verify any health insurance offer. Don't just trust the website or the salesperson.
How do you verify?
Check with your official state insurance department website. They usually list licensed companies. Or contact a legitimate insurer directly using contact info you find independently, not from the salesperson.
Okay, State Department first. What else?
Be really stingy with your personal and financial info initially. Don't give out everything right away. Avoid those weird payment methods, wire transfers, gift cards. Stick to standard secure methods like credit cards if possible after you've verified legitimacy.
Makes sense.
Read everything before you sign, especially authorization forms. Understand what you're agreeing to. And maybe consider using a credit monitoring service, especially if you're switching coverage, just as an extra precaution.
So it really boils down to being skeptical, doing your homework, and verifying everything independently. This has been, well, incredibly eye-opening. We've looked at the huge scale, the different scam types, all those red flags in marketing, operations, coverage, and how digital technology is making it even more complex.
It's a constantly shifting landscape, isn't it?
It really is. Hopefully, this deep dive has given you, our listeners, some valuable tools to navigate it safely. Let's try and pull together the key actionable takeaways now. Okay, so wrapping things up. The big takeaway from our deep dive today really has to be this. Health insurance scams are a serious evolving threat. And we all need to be vigilant.
Absolutely. We saw the numbers, that staggering $68 billion lost annually, but also the very real devastating impact these scams have on people's lives.
We covered a ton of red flags, but if you only remember a few, make it these. Those impossibly low premiums, the high pressure sales tactics, really vague descriptions of what's actually covered, and demands for unusual payment methods.
Yeah, those should trigger immediate skepticism.
And crucially, verify, verify, verify. Any offer that seems too good to be true, assume it probably is until you prove otherwise.
Use those official resources. Your state insurance department website, the federal healthcare marketplace, the legitimate insurer's verified website. Take that extra step. It's worth it.
And don't let anyone rush you. Legitimate companies expect you to take time, review documents, ask questions. High pressure is a massive red flag.
Remember, real insurers have licenses you can check. Don't be afraid to ask for that license number and then check it with your state regulator. It's your right.
And guard that personal information. Don't hand over your social security number, bank details, or extensive health history until you are absolutely certain the entity is legitimate and the connection is secure.
Be extra careful with online ads and social media pitches. They can look convincing, but they're prime territory for scammers. Always verify independently anything you see promoted there.
And understand what you're actually buying. Is it real comprehensive insurance, or is it a limited benefit plan, or maybe just a discount card? Know the difference and the limitations.
Finally, and this is important, if you think you've encountered a scam, or even if you just suspect something's off, report it.
Who do you report it to?
Your state's insurance department is the primary place. Also, the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC. Reporting helps authorities track these operations and potentially stop them from victimizing others.
So look, navigating health insurance is complicated enough as it is. But taking that extra time to be cautious, to verify, really can save you from immense financial pain and protect your access to care.
Be proactive, do your research, and trust your gut. If something feels wrong, it probably is. Don't be afraid to walk away.